Well, we're turning now to Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 15, and beginning to read from verse 1. Luke chapter 15 and verse 1. Let us hear the word of God. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And the Lord will bless his word to our heart. And that phrase, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Well, tonight we're going to look at this parable, the lost sheep. And I wonder if I were to take a straw poll, if I were to take a hands in a meeting, in an open meeting, which would be your favorite parable? Perhaps it's this one. Or maybe this is the most popular parable. Maybe this is the best known parable. But often, when we know a parable very well, we need to pray even more earnestly that the Lord will reveal to us something new or something fresh, or maybe even a different angle on the same parable. We're looking now over the next few weeks, doing a short series in Luke chapter 15, and we've entitled the series, Lost and Found. And if you remember last week, we learned from verses 2, particularly verses 1 and 2, that the Lord Jesus seeks out lost sinners. And the Lord here then tells a series of parables to illustrate who he is, what he has come to do, and our true situation before God. Who he is, what he has come to do, and our true situation before God. We're very familiar with sheep in this part of the world. If this was in a large city, you'd be amazed at the fact that some people have either never seen a live sheep with their own eyes, or they don't know the difference between a sheep and a goat. But we're very familiar with sheep. And some of us live in areas where there are sheep in the hills behind our houses. And some of us live out in the countryside and we see sheep all the time. And that's very familiar territory for the congregation or the audience here with the Lord Jesus. They all worked with sheep. They knew about sheep. Many of them would have had been shepherds. But I want you to notice the characters here. The Pharisees and the scribes would have known about sheep for a particular reason. Because, of course, the sheep were those that were sacrificed in the temple. And those sheep were sacrificed in the morning and the evening as a picture of the Messiah to come. And yet, they don't understand that when the Lord is telling them this parable, he's talking about himself. How quickly, how easily do we miss the point? I hope we don't miss the point tonight. I hope the Lord takes these few thoughts, and they are a few. It's a bit of a hot evening, I have to admit. But it's a few thoughts just to help us to focus upon the Lord. There's the picture here of a lost sheep. She's astray, she's alone, she's helpless and hopeless, and unless she's found, she will perish. She will die. The other side of it is that there's a shepherd seeking out the lost sheep. But the sheep doesn't know this. And likewise, the sinner is lost and astray and helpless and hopeless and in danger of perishing. And we didn't realize when we were without Christ that Christ was seeking us out. And could it be that we don't realize, someone here tonight, someone doesn't realize that the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is seeking out his lost sheep. And he's going to seek you out, and he's going to find you. And he's going to take you, and he's going to rejoice over you. Because that really is the punchline of the parable, which is shocking. Not for us, because we know about the Lord Jesus. But for the Pharisees and scribes, this was shocking. Absolutely shocking. So let's look at this. The Lord Jesus then in verse 3, and he spake this parable unto them. What's a parable? Well, I learned this from a well-known preacher many years ago. I always defined a parable as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But there's one little addition. An earthly story with an heavenly meaning and a heavenly purpose. It's a story that's familiar to everyone. There are three parables here. There is a sheep, there is a coin, and there are two sons. And there's a loving father. And all of these are very familiar themes to anyone, of any generation. But the point of the matter is, they're not just earthly stories. They've got a heavenly meaning and a heavenly purpose. And what is the purpose of a parable? It's to reveal the kingdom of God to those who are not in the kingdom. But it's also to veil the kingdom of God from those who refuse Christ. You read about this in other parts, why the Lord told parables. He was questioned by his apostles. And maybe in this parable, there's something that the Holy Spirit wants us to discover tonight. Something different about our Savior. Something that we've not seen before about him. So with open eyes and open hearts, let's ask the Lord to show us the true meaning of this parable. So he starts off. The first thing is this. The lost sheep. The lost sheep in great danger. Look at verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And you might be surprised, but these Pharisees and scribes, as well as the publicans and sinners, some of them would have owned sheep. They would have had sheep in their vicinity, in the area where they lived. And so they're very familiar with sheep. And the one thing about sheep is they can be quite silly. They can get lost quite easily. They're not willful like goats. They're not disobedient. They're not independent-minded, but they sometimes get into difficulty. And here is this sheep. Now notice what the parable says. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them? And you see where the aim is, the point of the matter is. It's not upon the sheep, it's upon the man. It's upon the man that should have been looking after the sheep. But just because the man was trying to look after the sheep, and by the way, he had 100 sheep, not just one, 100 sheep. It's hard enough to look after 20 or 25. It's quite another thing to look after 100, I can tell you, especially when they don't all have a field that's enclosed by a fence, but they're wandering on the hillside. And if you've seen recently those farmers and those shepherds going up on the hillside trying to retrieve the sheep, for the shearing, it's quite an interesting experience, I'm sure, but it's even a more interesting watch. They're trying to chase these sheep, And these sheep have no interest in coming down because the grass is too good. Because they're much more enjoying the grass than they are having to be herded together and brought down to be sheared. And so this man, he has a lost sheep. And think about the lost sheep for a moment. The word here is an important word. It means to lose. We can lose things. It's interesting how the woman in the next parable loses a piece of money, a piece of silver. And with this sheep has lost itself. It's got lost. Perhaps it began like this. It's on a nice stretch of grass, a little bit further away from the rest of the flock, and wandered over. And one part of the flock began to move away, and the shepherd moved with the large part of the flock, thinking that all the rest of the sheep would follow. But this one decided that she was enjoying it too much. And she's lost. She's alone. But the word here for lost can also have a much more serious meaning. It means to perish. And in Luke chapter 11, 51, Acts 5, 37, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 18, and 2 Peter 3 and verse 6, the same word is translated in that way. See, we think of losing things, losing keys and losing wallets, and well, I hope we haven't lost our minds, but we can lose all kinds of things. But here, it's much more serious. This lost sheep is in danger of perishing. What a thought. And you can imagine how these religious leaders particularly are going to hear this word. This sheep in the parable is going to perish. But there's also something else I want you to notice. The sheep is not only lost, but she's gone astray. She's gone away from the rest of the flock. And she's decided that she's going to go on her own way. And in Psalm 56, verse 8, the psalmist says, "We are astray in our wanderings." We go astray. This involves our willfulness. The most famous text that speaks of being astray is that famous text from Isaiah 53 and verse 6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now, who is this sheep representing? Who is this sheep a picture of? I don't say what, I say who. It's a picture of every person without Christ. Lost, astray, and in danger of perishing. That's why this parable is so powerful. And that's the condition of every person without Christ tonight. Lost, astray, and in danger of perishing. Think of this sheep that's in great danger. She is hopeless and helpless. Without the shepherd, she has no protection. She has no protection from wild animals. And the soul without Christ has no protection from the great lion. This sheep does not know that the shepherd is coming. She has bleated herself hoarse. She has no longer got the energy to keep standing. She's probably found some shelter somewhere. Maybe there's a storm coming. And this is a description of publicans and sinners and the religious as well. Lost sheep. And there's so many lost sheep around us. And they don't even know they're lost. And they might be our nearest and dearest. And without the good shepherd, they're going to stay lost. And that's the seriousness of this parable. There are so many people in great danger tonight, even around us. They're lost. Is there hope for them? Yes, there is. Because the Lord Jesus then tells us about the shepherd. We've looked at the lost sheep in great danger. Is there hope? Yes. The second thing is the seeking shepherd. He's seeking. Now notice how the Lord goes on. He speaks about these sheep that have been one sheep out of 100. How precious that must be. 1 out of 100. The good shepherd doesn't stay with the 99 who are in the wilderness but safe. He goes out looking for the lost sheep, the one that's missing. And he pursues his quest until he's successful. He doesn't give up by any obstructions or any obstacles. He keeps pressing on. His heart is for his sheep, and he wants to rescue her before she perishes. He knows in his mind that she cannot help herself, and she won't be able to get back to the fold. So the shepherd goes out to find her. We've seen that in real life, I'm sure. You speak to shepherds, especially in winter storms, and something happens. Or perhaps even just a summer storm that suddenly comes up on the hillside, the mountains. And the sheep are in danger. The shepherds will go out for their sheep. Ah, but there's a greater deal at work here. This sheep is being sought by a good shepherd. And the sinner is being sought by a good shepherd tonight. A perfect shepherd. A holy shepherd. A gracious shepherd. A loving shepherd. A shepherd whose heart goes out to the lost sinner. A shepherd has proven his love for lost sinners in his coming. In his work. In his perfect life. In his atoning sacrifice. Ah, this shepherd is Christ. And only Christ can fulfill this description. Because he goes out and he finds his sheep. I wonder how many shepherds have been unsuccessful in finding a lost sheep. Ah, but the Lord Jesus Christ, as the good shepherd, is never unsuccessful. He always saves his lost sheep. I want you to notice three things. He leaves the other sheep in the wilderness and he goes out after the lost one. You sang that hymn, there were 99 in the fold of God. Well, in some ways, it's a lovely thought. When we're safe in Christ, to have him as our Saviour and our Shepherd. But notice what the hymn tells us. No one was out on the hills far away, far off from the gates of gold, away on the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's fold. And then the Lord, thou hast here thy 99, are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd men answer, this is of mine, has wandered away from me. And although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found his sheep that was lost. Out in the desert he heard its cry, sick and helpless, ready to die. That's good poetry, but it's also solid theology. Our Lord Jesus knows the cries of the hearts of every one of those who are his, and he not only leaves the other sheep, he seeks the lost sheep. I have a picture at home, I was given many years ago, of a shepherd in an ancient robe, dressed as it were, as our Lord's dress would have been, a long cloak tied to the waist. And I have this picture in of the back of this shepherd, just in case you're concerned. This picture of a shepherd's back stooping down into a rock to rescue a lost sheep. How is he going to rescue this lost sheep? Ah, but in his hand is his crook. And on the end of that crook, of course, is a curved part of that staff. And he lifts the sheep out with his crook. And how wonderful that is a picture of Christ. He reaches down in mercy and grace and lifts us up. How did he do this? Well, he does this in grace through the gospel. When the gospel is preached, the shepherd comes in the gospel and he reaches out to the lost. When the shepherd is preached, the gospel incorporates the cross on which the good shepherd hung and bled and died. You see, here Christ is not only seeking the lost sheep, he finds the lost sheep and he saves the lost sheep. This is why the cross is so important. This is why we need to preach it and tell others about the cross, on which our good shepherd, as he says in John chapter 10, lays down his life for his sheep. He seeks his lost sheep, he finds his lost sheep, and he saves his lost sheep. This is the testimony of every believer, not only here, but in every part of the world tonight, who knows Christ as their Savior and Shepherd. He sought me, he found me, he saved me. If you want to summarize the gospel like that, he sought me, he found me. How did he find me? He found me in my sin. He found me in my shame. He found me at the bottom of the pit. He found me in the miry clay. He found me in the mire and the marsh of my iniquity. He found me and he saved me. He saved me from the power and penalty of sin, the judgment to come, the power of Satan, and the eternity without God. This is the gospel. The shepherd goes out, he seeks his sheep, he finds his sheep, he saves his sheep. Ah, how did he save us? Not just by coming to us, but by dying for us. On the cross of Calvary, our Lord Jesus laid down his life. He laid down his life. His life wasn't taken from him. He willingly, voluntarily laid down his life. For who? For his sheep. Not for everyone. He doesn't say that. Of course, his atoning work at Calvary is sufficient if everyone were to be saved. But it's only efficacious, it's only applicable to those who are his sheep. And the answer to the question is, who are his sheep? Those who come to Christ and trust in him as their good shepherd, they prove they're his sheep. They've heard his voice, they know his voice, and they follow him. John chapter 10, verses 1 to 4. This perfect shepherd, fully God and fully man, the second person of the Trinity, outlined to us in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. That's what the true believer can say. The Lord is my shepherd. And here is this sheep, this sinner who's now saved, but it might have expected to be scolded. And this is the last thing we've seen. First of all, the sheep, the lost sheep in great danger. Secondly, the seeking shepherd finds his lost sheep. And thirdly and finally, the rejoicing shepherd. And you might have expected in this parable, and so would the religious people, have expected some note of correction or harshness, because that was their view of God. This is a harsh God. Ah, but you find at the end of this parable something wonderful. He has sought his sheep. He has found his sheep. Now what happens? Verse 5. And when he hath found it, divine success. He hath found it. He has found it. What does he do with his sheep? He doesn't scold his sheep. He doesn't berate his sheep. He doesn't criticize his sheep. He doesn't make his sheep feel terrible for getting lost in the first place. He takes his sheep in his loving arms and he lifts it up. And she's probably so weak now that she can't even hold herself up. And he puts her on his shoulders. And this would have been absolutely shocking. This would have been so grating to the religious. See, they had seen sinners as unsavable, unsalvageable, cannot be redeemed. They're so dirty and so unclean and so filthy and so lacking in any merit. And yet they're the very ones Christ will come. And he will come and he will lift them up. And he doesn't just lift them up and put them in his arms. Did you notice this? He doesn't just lift them up and put them in his arms. He puts them on his shoulders for everyone to see. And the response of the shepherd after finding his sheep is something perhaps akin to what would have been experienced when other shepherds found their sheep. Verse 6, and when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. That's the reason for the rejoicing. That's the reason for the feast. I know nowadays we talk about parties, but unfortunately, parties in my day used to be birthday parties. Now it's more to do with drinking and all kinds of other things. So we don't call them parties, we call it a feast. They have a get-together. And the whole theme is, I found my lost sheep. But notice the stage of events, or the step-by-step. He finds his sheep. He picks her up in his arms. And then he carries her home on his shoulders. And as he comes in through the gates of the sheepfold, or even through the walled area in the village, the other shepherds see it. And they're rejoicing too. And he carries home this sheep and he rejoices over this sheep. And what a picture that is of Christ, a rejoicing shepherd. Not because he's found the sheep, but because the sheep was lost and is now found. The sheep was lost in her sin, in his sin or her sin. She had no hope without Christ. She was helpless and hopeless. And yet the Lord Jesus, being the good shepherd, has found his sheep and saved his sheep. And sometimes people who are stirred in their hearts to seek the Lord, young people, older people, they think when they eventually come to Christ, the Lord will scold them and say, what took you so long? That's not true. Because the Lord is so gracious. He rejoices over the found sheep. I have another photo. I've looked at this week again. I saw it a few years ago. I don't have a copy of this one, but it's called The Good Shepherd. And it's of a shepherd back to us with a sheep, stooping down to his sheep. But beside the young sheep is a woman. And she's very disheveled. She's very untidy. Her clothes are worn. But the most significant thing about it, her eyes are downward. They're not up at the shepherd's face. They're looking down at the shepherd's hands. It was the hands of the shepherd that rescued this woman. And is that not true for us? You think of the hands of our shepherd, nail-pierced hands, hands that were impaled on the cross of Calvary. Mighty, glorious, almighty hands, and yet they were, as it were, nailed to the cross because of our sin. Our eyes should be upon the hands of the shepherd, as well as upon the face of the shepherd. We should often ponder those hands that were nailed for our sakes and in our place. He was nailed on the tree for you and me, dear Christian. He was nailed to the tree. His hands still bear those wounds, though they're well healed. But the scars, we believe, are still there, even to this day, to remind his people forever and ever of his mighty love for his people. The shepherd's hands, they've taken us and put us on his shoulders, but they were nail-pierced hands. The most precious hands to consider. Maybe there's someone here and you're in great danger. And you might even fear that your time is coming near. And there's no hope for you. And you think, well, I'm lost. I'm lost forever. Ah, think again. You're not lost forever. One might be lost at the moment, but there's a shepherd seeking to find you. And perhaps you needed that reminder tonight. The Lord Jesus is the good shepherd who seeks out lost sheep. And when he finds that lost sheep, he takes this lost sheep up and he says, I have found my sheep which was lost. And if you were to come to Christ tonight and trust in him as your Saviour, verse 7 will be not only the experience of your heart, the joy of knowing Christ, but there will be joy and glory. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, than over 99 just persons, righteous persons, which need no repentance. Now I just want you to notice this. The just persons are just in their own sight. By their own estimation, they are righteous enough for God. But the Lord Jesus doesn't say that they are safe. He talks about the 99 in the beginning. Here there are 99 more. But it's those whom he finds and saves who have repented. And that word repentance is so important. The repentance here is of a heart attitude. It's turning from our old ways, even our self-righteous ways, and trusting in Christ alone. Some of us were very religious before our conversion. You might be surprised at that. Some of us were so devout in our religion, and yet we didn't know the shepherd. We were those who were self-righteous persons. We didn't need repentance. We'd done enough. And it seemed to be enough from our side, perspective, from our point of view. But from God's point of view, it's not enough. And it never will be enough. No, it's only those who repent, who ask the Lord for forgiveness, who pour out their hearts to the Lord and ask the Lord for mercy and tell him their sin and their shame and their guilt and even confess their self-righteousness. I was reading about one young man this week, many years ago. He had grown up in a religious background. He had heard the gospel and he thought that was enough. He's probably one of the most famous journal writers of them all. And yet he wasn't a Christian. He had religion. That would have been his testimony. But he didn't know Christ. He didn't know the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. And it was only in seminary, of all places, studying theology, that the Lord showed him his true state and showed him he was a lost sheep. And even his self-righteousness and his good works were not enough for salvation. Until he began to seek the Lord on his own, going out into the rural areas and finding a tree and hiding behind a tree and pouring out his heart to the Lord and asking for mercy. And the Lord forgave him. The Lord found him. The Lord saved him. And the Lord rejoiced in heaven over that one young man that repenteth. And just lastly, is the joy in heaven amongst the angels only? Not from this parable. There's joy in heaven. What does Isaiah say? He shall see the travail of his soul. Our Lord Jesus rejoices. Now, I can't go into any more of that, but I believe that the Lord's joy overflows when he sees another lost sheep come home to the fold. Well, we leave it there tonight, but let's pray in closing. Our gracious God and loving Father, we're so thankful for this message. We're thankful for the gospel. We pray, bless each one here tonight. Perhaps, Lord, there's someone listening that is described in this parable as a lost sheep. And perhaps they didn't even realize they were lost, Lord. And so we pray that if there's someone like that, and now they're exercised and stirred in their hearts and say, could the good shepherd be seeking me out? Oh, Lord, may they pray something like this. Lord, I have been sinning, and I am a sinner, and I need salvation. Oh, that thou would come to me in mercy and in love. I've heard of this good shepherd who seeks out lost sheep. I've been such a lost sheep and didn't realize it. Oh, Lord, come to me and deliver me before I perish forever. Oh, Lord, we pray if anyone is in that situation, that they would seek the Lord and find the Lord and know that the good shepherd seeks out the sheep that are lost. He finds the lost sheep. He saves the lost sheep. And he rejoices over the lost sheep until all his sheep are home safe in glory with him forever. Hear us and bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen.